For over 50 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green provides you with the kind of personalized help and attention that mass market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, customer service, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or call us at 301-530-0800 or go to our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Welcome, listeners, to the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary, located at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, alternating the show with Dr. Kevin Passaro, and we do try to bring you a wide variety of really good information all about you and your health. Now, the show is streamed through myvillagegreen.com. That's myvillagegreen.com. This is also a reminder that Village Green is your resource for questions about your health via the website and the store on Cedar Lane. They carry superior supplements from many manufacturers, including their own Pathway products. Now, we are here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Next week, I will be with you again interviewing Mark Hyman on his newest book, Food, What the Heck Should I Eat? And that's going to be a good show. And today, we have an excellent show, and our guest is Leah Guy. She's a health educator, author, inspirational speaker, and healer. And our subject is mindfulness practices for success. And we are going to talk about some of her books. She's going to give us some interesting information and a lot of tips that you can walk away with. In other words, I love it when our guests give information that when you finish listening to the show, you can make some change in your life. And since this is the new year, this is an ideal show for it. Welcome to the show, Leah.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, start out by just explaining mindfulness practices. What does that mean?
Sure. Yeah, a lot of people are talking about mindfulness and meditation these days, but you're right. We don't exactly know what that means, and it can mean so many things. But I think the easy thing to remember is that mindfulness is, it's kind of like having a very deep awareness. So it's kind of a conscious thought. That's the way I describe it. Instead of just letting our mind think about everything that our mind tries to get us to think about and pull us in this direction, and then we're distracted over here, and then we're thinking about our bills and everything in between, we have what I call conscious thought, which is a thought that we particularly plan to think. We may not plan ahead, but we can stop ourselves, in a sense, and become aware of the thought we're having. So it's an easy practice once you get the hang of it. It's just understanding it is maybe the hardest part. You can do this when you're walking. You don't have to be in a seated meditation. You can do it even when you're talking with other people, you know, being mindful of what you're saying, how you're speaking, what you're hearing, what you're feeling, what you're sensing. So it's really an acute awareness within.
Well, I like your description, and we're using that term, seeing that term used with regard to almost every aspect of our lives, mindfulness, yes, eating, thinking about what you're doing.
Right.
So keep the conversation going.
Well, you know, when we're not mindful, it's where most of us get into trouble when we're not mindful. We let our brain control us. And then we start thinking that we are our thoughts. And really, it's the other way around. If we have conscious awareness of our thoughts, then at that point, we can recognize that we are separate from our thoughts. We are not them, and we do not have to be controlled by them. That becomes a choice. So when you're not thinking mindfully, then your mind and your brain is, it's just running amok, and then we are following it. The whole point about mindfulness is so that you, the bigger part of you, the soul you, the conscious thought part of you, is in control of the mind. And that is essentially a practice of meditation, you know. And so that's why I say you don't have to be seated and take out 10 or 20 minutes of your day to meditate. You can incorporate a part of meditation into your every moment practice. It is a practice though, for sure, because we are so accustomed to being led by our thoughts. People think I am what I think, and that's not true. We are much more than that.
Well,
does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And I'm glad you said that. One of the most prevalent changes I've noted in a career that's almost 50 years is the prevalence of anxiety, not just in adults, but in teens and younger age groups. And it seems to be the major issue today. I always say to my patients, and maybe you have a better way to say this, I'll say anxiety is a prison we build for ourselves that we pull other people into. And it's not based on reality. It's based on perception. And we know that perception is reality for people when anxiety runs the show. I almost feel that people get addicted to their anxiety. Can you talk more about this?
Sure. I totally hear and agree with what you're saying. In fact, I used to say, once I realized that there wasn't something out there that was trying to get me, that's when I could get control of my anxiety. Because anxiety feels like, it feels like a cage or a trap or something. And for me, it was almost like the boogeyman, you know, like when you're 5 years old and there's a monster under your bed or there's a boogeyman in your closet. It's the same kind of externalized idea that there's something that's going to get us. And then we become part of this trap or this cage. And then other experiences and people, you know, we do bring them into that when it's not a reality per se, but because we're allowing ourselves to, one, get dragged into this externalized idea of perception, and two, because we don't have any control of our conscious thought, then we become filled in this whirlwind of just total ungrounded energy, swirling thoughts, and a worried, anxious mind. Now, in my book, I talk a lot about anxiety in the first couple of chapters because that's where I talk about fear and how this is becoming such a prevalent issue for people. And I truly believe that underneath anxiety is almost always unresolved emotion or emotions. So when we have unprocessed emotions that we have, you know, we've denied, we've swallowed, we're ignoring, we're just not processing them in our life in any way, I believe that that's another factor for extreme anxiety. And I do come from that history. I come from a family filled with anxiety. I was so anxious. I couldn't drive on the freeway. I couldn't fly in a plane. I couldn't sleep at night. You know, panic attacks and their eating issues and all kinds of things. So I get it. And I also do believe that in most cases, anxiety is treatable. And I want to, you know, encourage people to understand that it's not a disease that has to get us. That disease is that, you know, that externalized closet idea that something out there is getting us, and it's not.
Yes, you've said this very well, and the fact that you've had the experience is so important. The other thing I observe about anxiety is where I think what I'm calling the addiction to anxiety, that we need somehow our anxiety. What's the payoff? And so someone might be getting ready for a party or planning a vacation, and the anxiety comes in. But most of the time, whether you overdo your effort or overprepare, things work out. So the anxiety works. Getting stirred up works.
Yes. Well, and what it does, I think, is it allows us to avoid the real emotion. You know, I mean, you and I both know, and a lot of people know, anxiety and exhilaration are they're the same, you know, different sides of the same thread, you know. Just the excitement can feel very much like anxiety. So can insecurity, so can hopefulness, so can all kinds of emotions that are stirring in us. And I think what's happened is we have shut down our emotional gauge so much. And, you know, we're not even really encouraged in any way to express our true emotions in the moment, after the moment, or before the moment. And so when we have this stifled energy inside of us, it stirs. And I think that that's where that addicted anxiety kind of feeling is. It's like, at least we have that. If we have that, we at least have something we can relate to and talk about and kind of identify our experience with, because we don't know how to identify bliss, you know. And is it okay, especially if someone else isn't feeling the same thing, is it okay for me to feel this? And how do I describe this without seeming like a crazy person? Is it okay for me to identify, you know, a really deep seated fear that I'm going to die, or that I don't belong here, or that I'm not good enough? You know, is that okay? Or is it okay to express a love or a sheer ecstasy? You know, generally people don't do that when they're about to walk into an event, a gala, a press conference, a party or whatever. And so we suffocate it, and it stirs in us, and then all of a sudden we're not in the flow of our emotional selves, of our mental selves, of our energy selves, and now we have a big ball of stifled, almost just like an electric charge, and it comes out as anxiety, and it is very addicting.
It is.
It keeps us from, yeah.
And we're so used to it. It's like memorizing a prayer or a poem. That
yep.
The longer we repeat, the more we repeat the anxiety, the deeper it gets and the harder it is, what appears to me, to get rid of it. One of my sons was trying to help his daughter avoid anxiety, and they were skiing, and she was quite competent, and she got anxious at the top of a not expert hill, but one that was intermediate. And mm-hmm. he had her up there shouting, "I own this mountain. I mm-hmm. can do anything.
Good.
This
yeah,
is good. Mine." And I laughed because it's exactly what I did for my kids.
Yeah.
So
that's great.
Yeah, it's I can do it. I can do it.
I always tell people, you know, especially when they come to me and they say, "I have anxiety," or "I have this," I would say, "Why do you have it? Why are you holding on to that? Why are you owning that? You know, if you have it, you can keep it if you want it. You know, I have clothes on and I'm going to keep my clothes on. But I, you know, you're saying, you're owning, you're enforcing, you're encouraging the anxiety. You know, it does become part of our identity. And it's hard for people to let go of that, because then they, like I said, like you just said, you know, then we have to go somewhere else. We have to get in touch with something different inside of ourselves rather than that default of, this anxious, just kind of obtruse energy that we don't know how to deal with or talk about, but other people somehow understand.
Yes, and we're going to carry this conversation forward into the next segment. For those of you who have just tuned in, you're with the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM. We're brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. I'm Dana Lake, and I'm your host for the hour. Please stay with us, folks. We will be right back after this break.
Mega Food Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Mega Food believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Mega Food, from farm to tablet. Our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of Fit Food, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of Fit Food contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. Fit Food provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
The brain requires nutrition just like the rest of the body, and this is where Gero Formula's Neuro Optimizer comes to the rescue. Neuro Optimizer is a concentrated source of nutrients needed for memory, mood, concentration, and focus. Neuro Optimizer supplies the building blocks for neurotransmitters, the chemicals that allow cells in the brain to communicate and to file away memories. Neuro Optimizer is the nutritional answer to the brain's needs. To learn more about formulas, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Old Man Winter is on the way, but you can weather the storm by taking advantage of Village Green Apothecary's gear and sale. Now through the end of the year, you can save 35% off Pathway Nutrition products, 25% off other supplements, and 20% off body care products. Stock up on supplements to fight colds and flu, and pick up some healthy living gifts for your friends and family, too. Visit Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, or online at myvillagegreen.com, or call us at 301-530-0800. Our big year-end sale will blow you away.
Welcome back, listeners, to the second segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM. The show is brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate the show with Dr. Kevin Pissarro. This is a reminder that Village Green is your resource for questions about your health via the website and the store on Cedar Lane. And Village Green's nutrition advisors have an exciting new tool. It's called the Natural Medicines Comprehensive Database. It is considered the most authoritative resource available. It provides unbiased scientific information on dietary supplements, natural medicines, and complementary alternative and integrative therapies. So that's going to be of great interest to people who have a lot of questions and have health issues or are just looking for prevention. Now, we are here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., and I want to remind you that I'll be with you again next week. We'll be talking to Mark Hyman on his newest book, Food, What the Heck Should I Eat? Now, today our guest is Leah Guy, a health educator, author, inspirational speaker, and healer. And our subject is mindfulness practices for success. We started out talking about addiction to anxiety. We talked about what anxiety is. And Leah, could we go forward on this? What can people do in a practical way to help rid themselves of the anxiety? What are some of the key tips?
Well, I talk a lot about this, like I said, in the book, because the book is The Fearless Path. So it really deals with this root issue of finding and discovering what our real fears are. And as I said, I believe anxiety is generally a cover for some unresolved emotion. So there's some simple things that people can do, and I did them as well to get through that period of my life. You know, you just mentioned about nutrition, and although nutrition doesn't fix anxiety, when our physical bodies are out of balance, especially with the sugar imbalances that is a really big issue in our society, that only adds to the instability of our mind. So I'm a big proponent for getting the physical body as stable as possible, meaning higher proteins, higher good fat, less sugar, and it really helps in the right kind of essential fats for the brain. The
right.
DHA, the right amounts of EPA and so forth for the brain. These things, it's not just to, you know, to be taken secondary. We are in this physical shell and we have to balance it. And it's, you know, it's a tricky balancing act to keep everything stabilized. So, first thing is get your body stabilized. If you want your mind to be more stable, then get your body stabilized. And then I always recommend some mindfulness practices for people, especially in the moment or before times when they think they're going to have anxiety. The first one is the five senses. And a lot of people use this exercise for a variety of reasons because it's effective. If you can stop what you're doing, and you can practice this right now, and just bring your attention, your focus to the taste in your mouth, and just notice what you taste. And then after you get that in your mind, then shift your focus to your nose and just notice what you smell. And if you don't smell anything, then find something to smell. And then you can do this with your hearing, and you can do it with your sight, and you can do it with touch. You can do it with any of your senses that are most, that are stronger for you, if you will. And even the weak ones, though, are good practices. When we can get tuned in to a physical sensory idea, it takes us out of the mind spinning out of control into another arena, that futuristic what-if scenario, and it brings us into our bodies. So that's what the five senses do. Another trick that I have is, also it's a sensory exercise, is bringing the focus down to the bottom of your feet, putting your feet on the floor. If you're seated or if you're standing, feeling the center of the middle of your foot, and actually imagine as you breathe in, as you exhale, imagine your breath flowing out through the bottom of your feet. And you do this for 3 or 4 rounds. There's a lot of great breathwork exercises that people do for anxiety, but I find that, when you're in the moment of panic or about to get on a flight or driving over a bridge or whatever it is, that, it's hard to just, let me stop for a moment and do 3 minutes of breathing exercise. But if we have a couple of really quick things we can go to, like feel the bottom of my feet. Now I feel the bottom of my feet, breathe through the feet, pull up your toes, and pull all of your energy down to your feet. And if that doesn't work, I always, even in one of my videos, I recommended leaning over, leaning forward, and then swishing your arms up, and then swishing your arms down as fast as you can without harming yourself, of course, or making yourself fall over, and release the breath and the energy of what's stuck in your body. And the more that you can get physical, then the mind will be diverted back into the self. And we call these grounding exercises. And in my first chapter of the book, there's grounding, emotional workouts for grounding. And grounding is very important. People have been doing it for centuries. If you're near a beach, an ocean, or dirt areas, you can walk with the bottom of your feet on the sand or on the grass or on the dirt. They recommend up to 30 or 45 minutes a day, but even a few minutes a day can help us feel more grounded. And the idea behind all this is that we're connected to something inside of ourselves and to the world at large. We're connected back into our true selves, into nature, and we have a more supportive, grounded, stabilizing feeling. And it may not sound like it, would be super helpful, but it is super helpful. A lot of people, especially people with anxiety, have a sense of flightiness. They feel out of control. They're breathing top heavy. They're not taking deep, full breaths. They're clenching their stomach. They're all in their mind, and they're just floating around, just waiting to be tipped over and go into a full-blown panic. But if we bring our energy and our mindfulness into our body, down into our feet, connected into the earth, stabilize our nutrition, we are so much more prepared that it can be even hard to bring on a panic attack. It can be hard to even recognize anxiety because anxiety needs a place to live. If we don't give it that place, that flighty, ungrounded, unstable, blood sugar rise, fluctuating home, then it doesn't have a place to live as easily. So these are just a few things that I recommend and that I've done for years for myself.
These are good tips for people. And the book, I just want to repeat, The Fearless Path, and where can people get the book?
It's at Barnes & Noble. It's at Target online, on Amazon, or at some regular bookstores. It's also available on Audible. You can order the listening version and the ebooks and so forth. So it's pretty much available anywhere.
Good.
And I do focus a lot on the emotional workouts because, like I said, I haven't said this yet, but I will. The mental health is critical. We are, finally giving the attention, I think, that we need to mental health. And of course, people are obsessed with physical health, but they're not really doing that much about it, but we're obsessed with it anyway. But emotional health is critical. It's, it's the other component of this holistic health that we talk about so much. And so these emotional workouts, some of them are physical and some of them are mental, but they're emotionally connected so that we can start tying in our feelings with our body, with our mind, and bring us into reality. Because when we're not in reality, then we're, like you said at the start of the show, we're in a, you know, in a place that is a perception that's not even real. And that's the problem with the mind. It gives us a false illusion of what's real. And we have to get in control of that.
Right. The brain is not being truthful. It's deceiving
right.
us.
Yeah.
And most perception is reality. And
right.
That's why people don't communicate well, because one person's intent in what they may say is felt very differently by mm-hmm. the listener. And
right.
it's fascinating how, I know you've heard this and probably said this before, that if you interview, say, four children in a family about their parents, you'll think each child had a different set of parents.
Right. It's true. Our perception is real, but our perception changes, you know, as we age, as we have different experiences and so forth. So that begs the question, what is real?
And I think that it takes experience for people to know that what seems like such a tragic event in one's life, did poorly on an exam, this too will pass.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to believe that until you've had enough experience to think back and say, what were some of the things I thought were the end? And they weren't. And
right.
you learn. But I think that takes age and wisdom. Of course, I'm saying that now.
Right.
But you're bringing to the table so much important information. Let's start the talk about why letting go is the worst advice for moving on or for healing. This is a good one.
It is a good one. And, you know, a lot of people argue with me on this because, as I'm sure you're aware and many of the listeners are aware, the whole letting go idea is very prescribed by not only just you know, therapists and gurus and but it's gotten to be so cliche. Everyone is just saying, oh, just let it go. I'm just going to let that go for this year, you know? And I think it's the worst advice because, it creates a sense of, well, first of all, it's not possible. And second of all, it creates a sense of separation from ourselves. When we have an experience or a feeling, we can't just cut that out of our life. I often give people, especially spiritual seekers, you know, they're and religious types, a lot of people believe that we're all connected or, you know, all things have a purpose, a reason or connectivity to it. And so if we believe that or we think that that might be true, then how can we say I'm connected to all things and there's a reason and purpose and divine order and so forth, except for these things? I want to cut these things off. I want to ignore these things. I don't want to think about or feel those things over there. So I'm going to be connected to everything else except for these five things. You know, it doesn't make sense. It's not a viable way to move forward. Now, I'm not saying that we should hold on to things that are bad for us, but there's a difference between holding on and accepting our true reality and our feelings and experience, meaning that the problem with why this is so hard for people and they just want to let go is one of the biggest conflicts of the human condition is being able to have love and pain at the same time. We believe that we are our right is to either have 100% love or pain, but we don't acknowledge that the two often come together. In fact, they most always come together, because if you didn't have the love, then the upset, the hurt, the disappointment, or the pain would not follow. And whether it's due to a loss or someone saying something mean to you, a divorce, a death, an unfortunate accident, whatever the case, the two often go together. We want to just experience love. And I have to say, I don't know how much time we have for this break, this whole idea of the positive thinking is adding fuel to this fire. I do believe that thinking positive and having hope and finding the silver lining and so forth is can add great benefit to our life, and it does change how we think in our brain. However, it's unrealistic to think positive in every moment. It's unrealistic to not acknowledge the really terrible, awful, painful things that happen, to acknowledge our fears, to acknowledge the reality of what is going on. If we don't acknowledge it, we separate ourselves, and then that's when we start having a lot of anxiety, even up to people having, and I know you're full aware of this, dissociation, derealization, all kinds of things start happening in our brain because we're not accepting what is real. And so when we say, oh, I'm just going to let that go, where are you going to let it go? Is there a cosmic trash can? No. What we need to do is acknowledge that hurts. I feel like this, and I need to process this until it naturally transforms. And it will. It will naturally transform if we helpfully, you know, take care of it, just like a wound on our skin.
Good advice. Good advice. And we'll talk more about this in the next segment. And for those of you who have just tuned in with us, you're with the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM. I'm Dana Lake, your host for the hour. We're brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. Stay with us. We will be right back after this break with more interesting information on mindfulness with Leah Guy.
Solgar No. 7 can help you feel the difference. Solgar No. 7 actually shows improvement in joint comfort within 7 days. Now you can start to get back on track fast and pursue the activities you love. Solgar No. 7 is a breakthrough in joint care with no glucosamine and no chondroitin. The advanced bioactives in Solgar No. 7 help to increase flexibility, mobility, and range of motion within 7 days. One capsule once a day is all you need. When stiff joints occasionally say no, Solgar No. 7 says yes. Solgar No. 7. Available at Village Green Apothecary.
New from Garden of Life, Kind Organics Whole Food Multivitamins. They are the only USDA-certified, organic, non-GMO-verified whole food multivitamins available. They're gluten-free, certified vegan, and feature a patent-pending clean tablet technology. Kind Organics is super clean, untreated, unadulterated, and real whole food. Kind Organics Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Be kind to your body and the earth. Kind Organics, now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Do you have unique needs that a mass market pharmacy can't meet? Village Green Apothecary can help. Maybe your doctor prescribed a special compounded formula, or you have concerns about allergies or dietary supplements. Our expert team includes pharmacists, nutritionists, clinical herbalists, and naturopaths who can offer you advice on nutritional products and personalized healthy living plans. We also offer specialized lab and micronutrient testing to our customers. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or go to our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognisure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Have you ever wondered why the cold and flu season occurs in the fall and winter months? One theory is because of a decrease in sun exposure, our bodies don't make enough vitamin D, which is essential to proper immune function. That's why medical experts recommend supplementing with vitamin D. Thorne Research's vitamin D products are made from pure vitamin D, with no preservatives or unnecessary ingredients added. Support your immune system with Thorne's vitamin D1000 and D5000. These and other immune-supporting formulas are always available at Village Green.
Welcome back, listeners, to the third segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary, which is your resource for questions about your health via the website and the store on Cedar Lane. And I want to remind you that we're here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Next week, I'll be with you again interviewing Mark Hyman on his newest book, Food, What the Heck Should I Eat? Now, today our guest is Leah Guy. She's a health educator, author, inspirational speaker, and healer. Our subject has been mindfulness practice for success, and I want to remind you about her book, The Fearless Path. and it's available on Barnes & Noble and Amazon. It's easy to get, and it's available through Audible, too. So, Leo, we've been talking about how we can redirect our thinking patterns and how we handle things. And I like that you said letting go can be the worst advice. Please repeat as summary of why letting go is the worst advice. I think this is brilliant.
Well, as I said, the letting go is an idea. It sounds like an easy way out to just discard the uncomfortable emotions or experiences that we've had. But the truth is that there's no place to discard them. And if we're connected to people and connected to ourselves, we stay connected to our experiences and our feelings. And as we do that, we naturally let everything transform and shift and change on its own. In my book, I talk about digesting emotions. You know, we digest food. You don't eat an apple and then say, oh, I don't want apple anymore, and then cut the apple out of your stomach. The apple digests, and then it changes, and then what we don't utilize, it, you know, we excrete the waste and so forth. And the same is true with our emotions, but we have to go through the digesting and processing part. I think that the letting go, it just separates us from our true feelings. And as you know, we were talking in the break, and myself and all of us, we've all had really difficult experiences and sadness and loss and so forth. And if we don't honor that and feel it, then we it sounds cliche, but we don't grow from it. If we stay in denial of the truth, then we stay in denial of our reality, and we just kind of get stuck. And so the whole idea of letting go, it's separate. It's detachment. It's like cutting off an arm that has a wound on it. And what we need to do is take care of the arm with the wound and leave it attached, and we tend to it and we nurture it and we let it process and heal. And then we might have a scar, but that scar becomes part of our personality. It becomes part of who we are. So that's probably, you know, the biggest question I get asked a lot from the book is, what is this about? Because every other person is saying, oh, just practice letting go. And I just don't agree with it. I say practice acceptance and connectivity. Practice staying connected to it. I've had terrible things happen in my life. And when I was, after I was raped, I tried, like the therapist told me, oh, just, you know, take this pill, talk about it for 5 sessions, and then move on with your life. And it wasn't working. And what finally started working was for me to get real about what happened, find some compassion for myself, talk about it to people that, you know, could understand, find some forgiveness for the perpetrator, and let it be part of me. You know, not let it be shame, not let it be something I'm hiding or avoiding or denying or lying about. Let it be part of me. And you know what? That empowered me. It actually was one of the things that empowered me to become a healer. So we have to learn how to accept and let our pain strengthen us.
And that's, I think that's extremely important. When we cut ourselves, we don't expect that cut to be gone automatically.
No.
It goes through the stages of healing. And I think your metaphor is excellent. When people have a cancer or a problem with their body, and they go, bad cancer, I want to get rid of it. No, no, no. I don't like fighting cancer.
Right.
Fighting cancer is about the worst thing you can say, in my opinion. And I've been down the cancer road. And so I blessed the part of the body and encouraged it to heal. And frankly, it was not as severe an event for me, as I noticed for many other people. It was something I fortunately found early, something I did something about, did the right things, and I don't agonize about it. I don't even call myself a cancer survivor, because to me, it just wasn't necessary. And that doesn't mean that people shouldn't be in groups and get support. People need to do what they need to do for themselves. So I see people getting too attached to the bad things that have happened to them, the illnesses they own and want to tell their story. And sometimes I watch the eyes as I listen to what's a really bad story. And the eyes are smiling. And I'm thinking, this person needs to tell this story over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And can they heal with that? And so some commentary on that and the post-traumatic emotional disorder. Let's talk about that, too.
So I agree. A lot of people, you know, for whatever reason, and there's a lot of reasons, but people like to have labels and identifiers of who they are. And they become that. And sometimes it can be positive if a person's using their experience to help other people, or in my case, like I used a part of it in a book to relate to other people. But often we get stuck behind this this negative kind of title or label, and then it has ownership over us to the point where maybe our healing process hasn't healed, or you know, maybe we don't want to go the full cycle with the healing process because it's too scary or daunting. And so people become part of it instead of moving through it and getting to the other side of it. In my book, I talk about what I call PTED. And I know everyone's heard of PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. When that is comes about when someone's had a very traumatic, upsetting event, usually like a war or something, surprising, alarming element, 9/11, that kind of thing. But PTED is something that I talk about. It's post-traumatic emotional disorder. And I think all of us have PTED to some degree or another. And it's kind of up to us to decide and figure out where we are on that spectrum. But PTED comes from just having a normal life of growing up with imperfect people that probably, you know, shamed us, embarrassed us, yelled at us too much, hit us, whatever happened, or being bullied at school, or just, you know, divorce and the things that happen in life that cause us great emotional discomfort. And like I said earlier, we're not taught how to deal with our emotions. And so we stuff them inside. We don't talk about them to hardly anyone. Luckily, therapy is more accepted these days. But even still, the therapists are often talking about mental issues or just how to move on or let go or change or become different. And we're not giving enough time and attention to processing how we feel, especially for children in their developmental stage. They don't even know how they feel. They can't even describe how they feel. And then so they tuck it away, and then 10 years later, you know, they become addicts or, shut down and have inability to relate to people or intimacy issues or gambling issues or just feeling disconnected from others. And then we go into adulthood, and now we're supposed to be taking care of other people and jobs and everything. And we have these repressed emotions. I see people generally in their 40s and 50s that come to me, and they're just like, I can't sleep. I'm having anxiety. I'm having psoriasis on my skin. I have irritable bowel syndrome. I'm having a terrible relationship with my husband. I don't know what's going on. I need some help. And what's generally going on is their inner child was never even addressed ever. They have not even thought through or processed the true emotions that they have for either their parents or their siblings or their experience that they went through or what have you. And they have these lingering, suffocating emotions. And it doesn't take that much really to free a person and to start transforming and shifting. But it does require that we acknowledge the truth of what is, and we bring it out to the surface emotionally, physically, and mentally. And I think this is a huge issue in what's going on in our culture. It's becoming worse. And I do feel a little bit encouraged because of where we are and the children that are coming now. I think that there is some hope and resurgence of this, almost what I call like a renaissance period of people that, you know, are claiming their health again. They're claiming their jobs and their roles and art and getting in touch with their feelings to a different degree. So I am hopeful, but there's a lot of people afflicted with this emotional disorder. And I'm passionate to help people. That's why I do what I do. And 'cause I do think there is opportunity for change.
Well, and your work is brilliant. We're sort of getting to that subject of what's sometimes called IQ versus emotional IQ, where someone has a brilliance, a high IQ, but their emotional IQ has been left in elementary or middle school.
Right.
And is that what you're talking about with regard to emotional health versus mental health?
It is to a degree, but where I would separate is, you know, emotional IQ or emotional maturity, what I call it. You know, it does develop at a different rate for everyone, and it develops at a different rate from obviously our natural mental and physical development. However, there's some people that because of this this separation and dissociation that happens, you know, they kind of split. So they have an emotional maturity in many areas of their life, but they're suffering from emotional maturity within their own experience and self. So what I mean by that is that they can understand, and maybe they came from, you know, a really bad experience in a bad household, and they found a beautiful partner, and they've done a good deal of healing in certain ways, and so they're able to, you know, relate, and parent in a way. But especially when one starts parenting, I've noticed, and I'm sure you notice this too, but you know, we get an opportunity almost to relive a lot of our childhood. And when that starts happening is when we start to see, or we can start to see, the resurgence of all this emotional pain bubbling forward, and it stops a person in their tracks. So they may be emotionally mature enough to have a functioning, somewhat healthy life, but they're going to come to a place where their inner deepest wounds show up, and they don't know how to deal with them, because it's a different experience of dealing with your own wounded child than it is dealing with an adult self or adult partner, or even taking care of another child. So yes and no. Yes, that emotional IQ, that emotional maturity, is something to look at, and also within that, dealing with our inner child. It's huge, important work.
Yes, you said this so well, and I'm glad that we've gone in depth to some of the subjects that are within your book, The Fearless Path. So I'm going to remind listeners again that that's the book to get. And just a reminder for those of you who have just tuned in, I'm Dana Lake, your host for the hour on the Essentials of Healthy Living here on 1500 AM. And we are brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. Please stay with us. We'll be right back after this break with more wonderful information from Leah Guy.
Mega Food Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Mega Food believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Mega Food, from farm to tablet. Our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Bridging the gap between nutraceuticals and pharmaceuticals. That's the concept behind Zymogen's new exclusive and patented line of formulations, which utilize sophisticated delivery technologies to focus on specific molecular targets. The Zymogen EP line features Immunitix 3-6, a potent ingredient that has demonstrated a measurable ability to prime and enhance immune cell function. Applications include immune system support and support for white blood cell recovery following radiation therapy and other bone marrow affecting treatments. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great tasting omega oils.
Did you get enough lutein today to support eye health? Most Americans consume only 2 milligrams per day, yet populations with good eye health often consume 6 to 20 milligrams to protect the macula of the eye against oxidative stress and aging. Vision Optimizer from Gero Formulas supplies lutein, zeaxanthin, and 13 other vitamins, phytonutrients, and herbs that support eye health and function, reduce eye fatigue, and promote eye comfort. For more information, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Put a little more jingle in your pocket by taking advantage of Village Green Apothecary's year-end sale. From now until the end of the year, you can save 35% off Pathway Nutrition products, 25% off other supplements, and 20% off body care products. Give the gift of good health to the people you care about and stock up on healthy living essentials for yourself, too. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or on the web at myvillagegreen.com. Or just give us a jingle at 301-530-0800.
Welcome back, listeners, to today's final segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. We're here every Sunday morning, and I'll be with you next week when we discuss with Mark Hyman his newest book, Food, What the Heck Should I Eat? Now, today our guest is Leah Guy. We have explored mindfulness for success. We've talked a lot about how to handle trauma, how to get through it, and not shove it in the background. I think that's one important point. Leah, what else do you want the listeners to know today? And I'd like you to cover chakras, what they are, what they mean.
Right. Well, I appreciate you bringing that up. I do a lot of work with people with their energy system as well as their emotional and mental self, and the physical self too, of course. But the energy system is important. It's not the only thing, and I want to make that point clear. You know, I'm not a proponent for just going and getting your chakras cleared and then your whole life will be different. But the more we understand about our energy, the more we have just really information and the opportunity to balance all things. So, when I work with a client, you know, we do talk therapy and then I do energy work with them typically because it helps to support and shift the emotions, the physicalness and the mental aspect of what's going on. And so what are chakras? They are essentially energy centers around your body. Now I know a lot of people do yoga and everyone's heard of yoga by now, but yoga and principles of that lineage work with the chakra and energy system because the belief is that the energy system encapsulates the body and if things are in flow and healthy, then a person's body and mind and spirit are in flow and healthy. And when things are blocked or imbalanced or stagnant, just like our blood inside of our body, if the blood is not flowing healthily, fluidly, evenly, if it becomes blocked or clogged or stagnant or slow, then we know we get circulation issues, heart attacks, you know, all kinds of things can happen. So the same is true in our energy system, but it's just much more subtle. However, what's going on regularly in our energy system will reflect in our physical self. And vice versa. What's going on in our physical self, we can see in the energy system if it's an ongoing pattern. So I do what's called chakra readings. They're partly intuitive, but also I can physically see energy move around the body. And depending on how it's moving, gives me different signals and clues of what's going on in the body and emotionally in a person's life. So there's 7 main chakras, and if you've seen one of those yoga pictures of someone sitting like a perfect meditator, you see those colored circles that go up the spine. Those are the 7 chakra centers, and there's really nothing mysterious about it. We've just given, you know, meaning and understanding how the chakras are connected to our physical selves. So, for example, earlier we were talking about being grounded, getting rooted, feeling centered and stabilized, and how that can help us relieve fear. That's all root chakra stuff. Our root chakra is our first chakra. It connects us, our physical self, into, you know, the experience of being human, alive, so forth. And so when that chakra is blocked or imbalanced, we typically have the sensation of not feeling part of our family, part of society. We don't know what we're doing here. We don't feel connected to nature. Maybe we're not getting enough of that. We feel flighty. We feel anxious. We feel out of our body. So the root chakra is very important to anchor us. Then you go up the body, and there's the six other chakras correspond to different things. And in my book, I think, you know, not to toot my own horn, but I did, a pretty good job of each chapter corresponds to a different energy center. So a person can go very quickly and look at the symptoms, the emotional symptoms and the physical symptoms, to see if that might be an area that is of a concern for a person. For example, if you're having digestive issues and, you know, maybe liver or gallbladder issues are part of your family, or acid reflux, or inflexibility around your core, or a lack of determination and willpower, feeling insecure and like you're not good enough for the particular job that you want, or so forth. Those are all solar plexus chakra issues. And so we don't just, like I said, we don't just treat the chakra. We use the energy as a diagnostic tool to treat the whole self. So if we're working with our determination and willpower, with our core sense of identity and self, we're working with our stomach, we're working with digesting food, we're working with all of our organs. And we can use things like essential oils, color therapy, sound, crystals, movement, different things to affect the body, it also affects the energy system, and then therefore affect our overall health. And so all that stuff is given in the book. But it's interesting, you know, it's interesting, just like acupuncture, that works on our energy system, on our meridians, on different parts of the body that treat different ailments. And it's a very similar kind of principle.
Well, that's well said and well described. Do you have one more tidbit for just a short period of time for our listeners? You've given us so much.
Well, I just want to, I always like to say, you know, no matter where a person is in their, on their path, on their journey, I think it's critical that we learn how to speak up for ourselves, whether it's to a friend, a therapist, a group, even to ourselves. You know, there's a lot of repressed everything going on, and it's just causing problems. So no one can run away from the feelings and suffering and things that we feel in life, but we can learn to accept and be strong enough and courageous enough to share with others and to seek help. And that's what The Fearless Path, my book, is about. It's not about not having any fear anymore. It's about having the courage to show up to yourself, to honor and be truthful about who you are, about what you need, about what's happened, and allow that to empower you to live the life that you're here to live, because everyone is crucial here for the whole fabric of this existence. And so I just want to encourage, whether you reach out to me, to you, to whomever is in your circle, or wherever you can find, you know, connection, to do so, and don't be embarrassed or afraid to do that, because we're all just here for each other, and that's it.
Well, Leah Guy, I want to thank you for sharing the amount of information and your wisdom. It's been a pleasure to interview you and learn from you today.
Thank you so much.
And thank you, listeners, for joining us on the Essentials of Healthy Living here on 1500 AM. You can access this show or any of the previous shows through myvillagegreen.com. As our lives move forward in the beginning of this new year, I am reminded that every day is a new day, every minute a new minute, giving us many opportunities to make positive mental, emotional, and physical health choices. And I want to wish you great success as you take this information and start your new year with success in the future. Now, please remember, it's not the number of breaths you take, it's the moments that take your breath away. This is Dana Lake and Village Green wishing each and every one of you good health and a breathtaking day.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top-quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists offer a personalized approach to help you with your health needs. Stop by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or visit our website at myvillagegreen.com.